The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
Did you know that electroshock therapy is still being used today in certain hospitals around the country? Well, it is. And what's even more shocking is that now, with the growing awareness that drugs are not working, psychiatrists are wanting to use this technique on children. Electroshock therapy has been used for years to treat depression when the medication didn't work. But in the recent past, there has been a decline in its use, according to an article in Natural News by Mike Bondurant. He says from 1993 to 2009, there was a progressive decline in the number of hospitals offering electroconvulsive therapy or shock treatment. This means roughly 43% fewer psychiatric inpatients are receiving shocks. But something has happened. Now, they're wanting to increase the use of electroshock therapy. And I'm here today with Dr. Linda Lagerman, and we're going to be discussing this alarming trend, and she's going to tell us what she and the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, the organization she's affiliated with, are doing about it. Dr. Lagerman is a licensed clinical psychologist with 23 years of experience in the field. After observing that the mental health field had become dominated by psychiatric labels and drugs and was doing more harm than help, she closed her practice. She now devotes herself full-time to getting laws passed to protect people's rights and to informing people about the disability caused by psychiatric drugs and electroshock. She has a particular focus on protecting children, who have become the fastest-growing market for the psychiatric industry. Dr. Lagerman is a commissioner for Citizens Commission on Human Rights. She is also an associate clinical professor at the University of California, San Francisco, in the Department of Medicine. She's a three-time recipient of the UCSF Annual Teaching Excellence Award. She is also featured in the independent documentary, American Addict 2, The Big Lie. Hi, Dr. Lagerman.
Hi. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, I'm so honored to have you on the show today. You know, I can't hardly believe that we even need to be discussing this subject.
Yeah, I know. You know, most of the time when, I let people know what I'm working on, and the first thing people say to me is, are they still doing shock treatment? Like, they just don't believe it's still going on.
Right. That was my thoughts when I first heard about this the other day. And I'm like, I thought that went out with the dark ages, you know. But I really believe we're living in our own dark ages now. And my prediction is it'll be after we're dead and gone. But, you know, three or four generations from now, I believe that people will look back on conventional medicine in this day and time and they'll say, they did that. You know, we'll be looked upon as the dark ages in the future.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. But I totally agree with you. The one thing, though, is I don't want it to be like, you know, generations later. Like, I want us to get ahead of this right now.
I do, too.
And yes, and turn the corner. But exactly. That's so true. You know, like with all of the psychiatric drugs, you know, 15, 20 years ago, if you had told somebody that, you know, one in four Americans would be on a psychiatric drug, or we'd have, you know, one in 70 toddlers on a psychiatric drug, nobody would believe it.
Right.
It's totally crazy. But that's the fact today.
Yeah, it is the fact. And, you know, we were talking the other day and getting prepared for this show, and I had mentioned to you about, you know, there's a book by Aldous Huxley called Brave New World. And I read that book, and it was purported, I think it came out in the 30s, and it was purported to be just a fiction book. But later it came out, and they admitted that actually that is the plan. You know, so they have had this plan, and what the book basically is talking about is, you know, it tells a story and that kind of thing, but everybody's on drugs. There's a drug for sleep and a drug for this and a drug for that, and there's everybody's on drugs, but more than that, everybody was controlled. And
that
was the plan. And we're looking around and we're seeing that's what's happening today. So they really did mean to do that. So this is not an accident. This stuff is happening.
No. And ultimately, it is about control.
It is. It is.
And a huge means of control is drugs. And then, you know, now, and we'll get more into this, but, you know, shock treatment, electroshock. And the new thing now which is, there are these electrical brain implants.
Wow.
Now, you talk about control. You're getting to an ultimate. Yeah, because they're permanent. You cannot remove those.
Wow.
Once those are put in.
I hate permanent things like that.
I just
don't like anything permanent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you, before we get into the main discussion, and we have just a little bit of time here before the break, I want you to tell us a little bit more about your background. Mm-hmm. You were a psychologist for 23 years. What caused you to close your practice?
Well, I saw... there was a tipping point that happened because I was observing over time more and more and more people come in to see me, regular people, on psychiatric drugs. And more people, like I can't tell you how many times a parent came in and said, well, our son was just diagnosed with ADHD and the doctor said we have to put him on medication. And it just... reached a point for me where I was like looking at it and then people on the drugs were getting worse and then their relationships were getting worse and they're seeing me for therapy and I'm trying to help them with get control of their life. And meanwhile, then they're seeing a psychiatrist and they're getting these drugs that is dragging them down and disconnecting them from their relationships and their children. So finally, I just, my eyes opened because it goes against everything you're told. You're told these are medicines and that they're helping people. But finally, I had to just actually look at what I was right in front of me. And it's like, you know what? No, actually, this is making people worse.
Right.
And something is going on making normal people with normal mental and emotional and spiritual struggles think that they need to be drugged.
Right.
And that's when I started really doing research and looking into this and how we got to where we are today, where we do have 1 in 4 people taking a psychiatric drug.
Yeah, and that's so sad. And I have to say this, I really admire your integrity and your honesty and for someone that just wants to do what's right. I really admire that because that's a rare quality these days.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to a break real quick. And then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this. So I'm talking here with Dr. Linda Loggeman, and she just got finished telling about her experience and how, and the reason she closed her practice. And let's get on to just how many children are on psychotropic drugs now. And I know, before you answer that, you can walk in a mall and or go in any number of stores for the young people, especially in the teens and the 20s. That group, I'm really concerned about that group because you can see these children and these kids, and I like looking in people's eyes, it's like they're brain dead. And they can't think.
Yeah.
They can't. If you give them a different change from what they plugged into their cash register, they can't. They can't add or subtract. And I have to help them sometime. I'm like, just keep the pennies and give me $2 back or whatever. Because they can't figure it up if they've put it in before you've given them a change. And so, I was trying to pay for it, but and you look into their eyes, and it's like, the lights are on, but nobody's home,
Yeah.
And it's very concerning to me, and it's very sad. So, I could just about guess which ones are on the drugs and which ones are not, because you can tell by looking at them. But just how many, I know it's a whole lot, it's several million.
Yeah.
Just how many children
are on
drugs?
Well, 8 million in the U.S.
Wow.
8 million.
Wow.
And it is very concerning, very, just for the reasons you were saying, there's no one home.
Right.
Yeah, because all psychiatric drugs disconnect parts of the brain.
Right.
And they disconnect the frontal lobe, which is where your higher functions are. That's where your connections, your feeling of social connection, with others.
Right.
That's where that is. So, you cut that kind of communication in that area of the brain, and people don't feel for themselves, for others,
shows.
Yeah.
It shows. I mean, there's a show on The Walking Dead, but I almost think we're living in that era now because, and it's really sad. It really is.
Yeah, it is. And it's, the numbers, we've got 8 million kids, but to put that in perspective, the teenagers, 12 to 17-year-old kids, in that age group, 1 in 6 is on a psychiatric drug.
Wow. Wow.
So 12 to 17, 1 in 6 is on a psychiatric drug. If you just that's go down like the 6 to 11-year-olds, 1 in 7 is on a psychiatric drug. And then, you know, up to 5-year-olds, like birth to 5-year-olds, birth to 5-year-olds, it's 1 in 23.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, it's outrageous. And how did we get here? You know, it's the media plays such a strong role here. The media shapes people's thinking about themselves and their struggles. And direct-to-consumer advertising, you know, all those TV commercials and print ads saying, you know, do you experience this? Do you experience that? You may be suffering from this mental illness and you need this drug.
Right.
And it's especially targeting children now. They are looking for, like, you know, new lifelong customers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's terrible because I see parents now looking at their children differently. Instead of looking at a kid as high-spirited and maybe even difficult and bouncing off the walls and needing some, you know, extra sport or look at their diet or, you know, give them whatever, all those things. Instead, parents look at their kids and they turn to each other and say, do you think he has ADHD? You know, it's a mental illness instead of something. You know, what did we do before we had all these fancy pharmaceuticals that are ruining people? You know, we solved problems.
Right, we solved problems.
You
and that's what blows my mind today is why do parents just you know, randomly want to put their children on drugs? I mean, now, in certain situations...
Well, they're being betrayed. They're being given wrong information.
Yeah.
They really are. They're trusting in the experts and going against their own common sense.
Yeah.
Most
parents'
common sense says, no, you don't put a kid on a drug.
Exactly. That's what gets me. That's the point that gets me. It defies common sense. It's like, okay, if my child is acting up or has these problems, what's causing them? And I'm all about, let's get to the root cause of the problem and fix it, you know, because what if there's something serious going on and you're just giving them a drug to cover the symptoms? And what if that serious issue is killing them? And, you know, because I've been here, my daughter's, been sick for a while and she had some life-threatening things going on with her. And I had been told, well, just put her on drugs, you know. Well, and I will say there's times we did because she got so bad. We had to, just as a temporary measure, to stabilize things. And in extreme cases, you may have to. And I don't have a problem with that. But we were still trying to get to the root cause of the problem so we could find out what was wrong and fix it. Get her well. But just to say, just put them on these drugs and just go on about your merry way and not try to find out why the child's having problems. I don't get that. I just, because to me, this is not rocket science. You know, why are they acting like that? You know, and I just think that we should get to the bottom of it. And the problem, one of the many problems I have as a psychiatrist is they don't test, they guess. So they're giving these drugs to these children, these SSRIs, these serotonin reuptake inhibitors, but they don't know what the serotonin levels are. They're not doing any lab tests. They're not doing neurotransmitter testing. They're not doing a hormone testing that can affect the brain. They're not doing genetic testing. They're not doing PET scans. They're not doing infectious disease panels to see if maybe there's an infection somewhere that could be causing problems. And so there's so much information they can gain from what could be causing the child to have these problems, and they're not testing any of that. They're just giving them drugs and sending them on their way. And in the meantime, they could have some serious issue, and I'm not saying all of them do. Sometimes it's just change in diet will help. But they could have a serious issue that's being overlooked and not being addressed, and it could be killing the child. And they're just...
Oh, no, that's absolutely true. Or the drugs are making it way worse.
Exactly.
Like the kids, some of those things, like, you know, ADHD type symptoms that get labeled ADHD, hyper or inattentive, that can be because of sports concussions. That can cause some of those same things. So if you don't find out that and you're just drugging the brain that is already kind of traumatized and needs to heal, it's much worse.
Yeah.
But, you know, what you were saying is, I like that phrase, you know, psychiatrists, they don't test, they guess. And that is, to me, that is the primary difference between medicine and psychiatry. Like, medicine uses the scientific method, objective. They find the causes of something, and then they find the cure.
Right.
And they have done that with many things. Medicine has made phenomenal advances.
Right.
Psychiatry, on the other hand, they don't do any of these testings like this. It's not a scientific method.
Right.
They just keep selling experiments to us with assertions. They've not found any cause to any mental, you know, problem, and they have not found any cure.
Right.
They just sell whatever's the latest thing that they're selling, and they do it with assertion. Like, I'm not kidding you, lobotomies, you know, cutting the brain, like making people vegetables. Lobotomies were marketed in the 40s and 50s as miracle cures. They were the miracle cure. Like, that phrase was used. And then, I don't know if you saw, there was a few months ago, People magazine had the story about, you know, Rosemary Kennedy, John F. Kennedy's sister, who they lobotomized. And she was 23 years old, and they gave her a lobotomy. And she, after that, she could only speak three words. She was institutionalized. She couldn't walk, really. It was, you know, they just killed her, basically.
Yeah, they did. They did.
But then along came shock treatment, and that was then called the breakthrough, the miracle cure. And then that went out of favor after One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest exposed it. Mm-hmm. And then it was all the drugs. And there's been a long line of all these drugs. And like I said, it's amazing how many people are on them, have been trusting these, you know, all the hype, the media hype about them.
Right.
And lots of those studies, you know, now there's been Department of Justice cases because these studies have been falsified. Like, these drugs, they don't work.
Right.
You know, any more than placebo does. So even when somebody tells me that the drug really helped them, it's like, I don't doubt at all that that's their experience, because I know that 70% to some studies, 100% of the people given a placebo, a sugar pill, will say the exact same thing with the same conviction.
Right. And I read that study the other day of how even, you know, a lot of these drugs, it is just a placebo effect.
Yes, it is.
And they've shown that.
Yeah, and we should actually, that's a place to, like, pause and for us to think about. It's like, placebo is so strong. What is actually occurring? What's occurring is the person themselves, they decided that they're going to feel better.
Right.
And they made that be the case because they decided it. It doesn't matter if they thought it was because of the pill, because we know it was just a sugar pill, so the pill didn't do it.
Right.
You know, so it doesn't matter if it's a lucky rabbit, you know, a sugar pill, or somebody's, you know, lucky underwear, I don't know what.
Yeah.
But they decided that it was going to be better, and they made that be the case. And
right.
So we should be tapping into that.
Exactly. You know? And that just shows the power of the mind. And,
that's right.
And as the, and whether
and the
you,
spirit.
That's right.
Yeah.
And whether you believe in the Bible or not, the Bible does say, it has a lot of good facts in there. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so that you can think yourself, you can think yourself well, or you can think yourself sick, you know.
That's completely true.
Yeah.
That's
and,
true.
You know, the book by Norman Cousins, I believe Norman Cousins wrote a book about, you know, how he basically laughed himself to wellness. And so, and you're exactly right. That is what we need to be tapping into. But, but I'm afraid there's not exactly enough money into thinking yourself well. So that may be a challenge to get the, you know, powers that be to tap into
well,
that. They won't do that.
No, and it's also because what we're saying at the beginning, ultimately this is about control.
It is.
And so it's the opposite. Like, people really have way more power than they realize. But the, you know, those few people in power who are kind of pulling the strings and controlling most of the media and everything and the drugs and all that, they would have people believe that they don't have it, and it's all out of their control, and they have a chemical imbalance, which is completely out of your control, and they just encourage people to be more and more passive in their life and not solve their own problems, because if it's chemical, there's nothing you can do but take a pill.
Right.
But what happened to the, you know, how people used to handle depression before? Because anybody can experience depression. You know, exercise. By studies, exercise is the single best treatment for depression.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise,
and, right,
learning something new, volunteering, helping somebody else, you know?
Right. And one of the best things is to have an attitude of gratitude, but also is to think
that's
of other people and try to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
And to do things as simple as gardening. Gardening has been shown to be extremely helpful and, you know, healthy and really good for the mind. So there's just a lot of simple things.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And that's what, you know what? That was the other thing. All those years in practice, you know, doing psychology, I came back around. Like, I studied a lot. I actually did, 6 years on top of my PhD to become a psychoanalyst, you know, the Freudian stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've studied all the different brands of therapy and a lot of convoluted theories and all that. But I came back around to, you know what? That the answers are not in any of those things. It's back to very simple things. That's what really makes a difference.
That's right. That's what I think too. My kind of my philosophy is just, you know, do the simple first. Just get back to nature, back to
that's
how
right.
things were 50 years, 100 years ago, and just do mm-hmm. simple basic things. Because
right.
in ways people were healthier back then. And yes, they had
that's
other
right.
problems, but still, you
right.
know, but look at the problems we have now. You know, they didn't have back then. Autism was
that's
unheard
right.
of, you know,
right.
50, 100
yeah.
years ago and
yeah.
that kind of thing. Now, you were telling me the other day about a Finnish study. Can you go over that now where they did some study on the effects drugs are having on children?
Yeah, so many women have been told that it's safe to take these drugs when they're pregnant, the antidepressants. Yeah, Finland did a huge study where they, over a long period of time, where they looked at from in utero, you know, the fetus, all the way through to teenage years, and they looked at women who were diagnosed with major depression, and then some were given medication and some didn't take medication, but they all carried that diagnosis, and they looked at them, you know, followed the kids, and they found that the kids of mothers who took antidepressants while they were pregnant ended up depressed when they hit adolescence. I don't know if it's because hormones kicked in, but, you know, these drugs, I mean, children's brains are still developing until they're 24 years old.
Right.
And obviously in utero is where the massive development is happening. And to be putting brain chemicals, you know, artificial, to be putting psychiatric drugs in a kid is, you know, in a fetus is just horrible. And anyway, these kids ended up, more of them are depressed. So now they're, you know, Finland, they're putting out a warning. You know, this should be front page news, but see, the thing is there's so much money that is at stake here. There's a whole industry of money and control. But
right.
the money, and why I do everything I can to try to get information out there so that people can make informed decisions and know the risks, you know, to themselves and their kids, but also trying to counteract all of the hype in the media. Like, we have got to get on the right side of history with this.
We do.
Especially because it's getting very, very dangerous with the electroshock, which damages the brain.
Right.
It's brain damage.
Yeah.
And these other, you know, electrical brain devices that they're starting to push. It's a whole new thing that they're trying to promote. And
right.
the studies, the real science that hasn't been, you know, false and purchased, you know, but
right.
the real science that, you know, gets silenced by all these money interests, that says these things don't work, that they
right.
cause brain damage.
And they're expensive also, aren't they? And I mean, I know the pharmaceutical industry is the most profitable industry on the planet. And it even surpasses oil and gas. So we're
yeah.
talking
yeah.
major money, but the electroshock, one electroshock treatment, do you know how much that cost?
One of these brain implants I know costs $50,000.
Oh my gosh.
And insurance pays for that. The electroshock, you know what, I can't remember offhand what an electroshock costs, but
someone had told me the other day, I think it was $1,000 or something. I didn't double check that, but I just wondered if you knew. Anyway, it's expensive.
I think it's more than that. I was going to say a couple thousand, but I don't know for sure.
It's expensive.
But yeah, and that's an ongoing thing, because even that, again, there's no cure. So even with when they're promoting electroshock, they still will say you're going to need maintenance electroshock. Like every 6 months you come back and get electroshock.
For the rest of your life?
Yeah, and every shock damages the brain. Because this is, you know, electroshock, I don't know if people know, but, you know, that ECT, electroconvulsive therapy, it shoots around 450, 460 volts of electricity through the brain, intentionally causing a grand mal seizure.
Oh.
That is what it does. And, you know, if you've seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and things like that, or early footage of these, that's what it's doing. Now, psychiatrists will tell you today that, oh no, it's an improved, it's new and improved. I'm telling you, all they've done is they give a person a muscle relaxant, like a paralytic agent, mm-hmm. They anesthetize them, but the muscle relaxant that temporarily paralyzes them makes it look okay from the outside, mm-hmm. because the person doesn't like break their back and all of that. You still need the mouth guard so you don't crack your teeth or, you know, lacerate your tongue. But the same violence is going on to the brain, the same violence, and it is still causing a severe grand mal seizure. Wow. Neurologists, you know, real brain doctors, they try to stop seizures. Because, right. and in the neurology literature, it is clear that severe, I'm not talking just like a normal or somebody having a regular kind of seizure, like from epilepsy or something, but severe ones, severe seizures cause brain damage.
Of course.
So you have neurologists trying to stop those and prevent it. And you have, on the other hand, here you have psychiatrists coming over here with some mad science, you know, experiment saying, oh, I think this will be curative, even though they say, we don't know why it works, but it works. Trust us, it works.
Yeah, trust them. Keyword, trust
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, and you say that they're implanting this in their brains now. Tell us more about that. That's even more scary.
That is scary. It's very scary.
And I assume they could control that by remote control, maybe?
Actually, that's true. No, that is true. These are they're the most, one of the ones that's promoted the most is called deep brain stimulation. And that's the other thing. Like, there's so many buzzwords going on in the media now. Stimulation, instead of saying, you know, brain stimulation, instead of saying shock. You know, right. we're going to shock your brain. They say brain stimulation. That sounds positive. You know, and there's a lot of words in the media, too, about you'll see this. Instead of all that language about chemical imbalance that was used to market drugs, you know, if you uh-huh. talk about something and you say, it's chemical imbalance, it leads you in one direction. Well, the solution
right.
must be chemicals. You need drugs. Now, you will notice in the media, there's more and more talk about brain circuitry, brain wiring, underpowered neurons, you know, maybe depression is because you're underpowered neurons. They need electricity. They need to be boosted up.
Right.
It's just the precursor. They're just priming the public to start selling these brain devices. Anyway, deep brain stimulation involves drilling, literally, I don't want to gross people out that are listening. But
no, just tell it like it is.
Because if we don't look at it straight on, then we can't handle it. We can't stop it.
Right.
You have to know what's going on in order to handle it.
Yeah, we are past time that people has their you know, that people have their head in the sand. We're going to have to see things as they are.
Right. And the threat is so strong, like it's no time to be delicate about it. It's like we have to just say it. So anyway, so deep brain stimulation, it drills two holes in the skull, the top of the skull, and puts electrical implants deep inside the brain tissue. Wires are inside. Wires get fed down through the neck to battery packs on each side, like the collarbones, like pacemakers.
Pacemakers.
And that is controlled remotely in the doctor's office of how much electricity and how frequently to have it be firing in the brain. And those are permanent. You cannot remove those once it's put in. You know, it's one thing to drill a hole and put something down into the brain, but then you have tissue around it. You know, you can't like rip that out. I had a doctor contacted me a few months ago because she had a patient in her office who said it was torture. She had it done. She said it was torture. She was suicidal, which is one of the side effects that they list. And she was trying to find a doctor to remove it, but they can't be removed.
Yeah, after they're in there so long because the brain tissue grows around the implant.
Yeah, you can't get it out.
And so if you try to pull it out, you're pulling the brain out.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. And she had hers turned off. Like, it can be deactivated. But once you implant something in the body, like, it can migrate, it can move. And that's what was happening with one of the implants in her brain. It was migrating. It was, like, moving around in her brain. So these things are so concerning to me. And this is what I'm saying. We have to get on the right side of history. We have to, like, not go down the path where we get sold to this and think like, oh, a breakthrough. Psychiatry's finally cracked the code. It's electrical. This is the solution to all our problems. You know, we did that with lobotomies, you know, before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in all the drugs, you know, it was like, oh, this is going to solve everything. You know, if these drugs were so good, we would be the happiest, healthiest country in the world.
Right.
Because we consume 80% of all pharmaceuticals on the planet, and we rank 27th in health.
Of course.
27th in health. Like, all the money we have and we spend on healthcare, and we are 27th in health.
Yeah,
and the drugs are killing us.
Right, and as you know, what's wrong with this picture? You know, what is wrong with this picture? You know, we do need to get ahead of this. But you told me that the American Psychiatric Association, they're urging more children to get electroshocked. Now, it's bad enough to put this in an adult, but can you imagine a child having this done? Now, do they do implants with children?
They do. Yeah, they do. And they first, you know, this is the thing, these implants were first researched for Parkinson's disease, that's a whole other matter. But once you open that door, the problem is, this has been, when you're talking about things that have to do with mental and emotional states, it's very subjective, and it's very easy to exploit that. That's how come so many people are on psychiatric drugs. So you can exploit that, and then you get more and more people with these brain devices and shock and everything. You know, like you can't, like a doctor can't tell me, you know, like, oh, you should take insulin. They can't get me to do that because I would just get tested and see. I don't have diabetes, so
right.
I'm not going to do that. But it's very easy to prey on people's mental and emotional struggles and tell them it's a mental illness that needs a pill. Somebody who's shy, it's very easy to say, well, maybe it's not just shy. Maybe you have social anxiety disorder and you need a pill, you know. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's very easy. And now the thing with these implants, they are pushing them. The American Psychiatric Association just did a public statement. This was less than a month ago, urging the FDA to reclassify, like right now the shock machine is considered a high-risk device. They were urging in a public statement the FDA to reclassify the shock machine to a category that's called safe and effective, that it's the same category as powered wheelchairs, acupuncture needles, things like that.
Yeah.
They were urging that for a couple of reasons, but one of the reasons that they wrote is that this electroshock, they want it more available to more children and adolescents.
Oh my.
Yeah.
I mean, this is almost making me speechless, and I don't get speechless very often. Yes, it's definitely got to be stopped. And I was just thinking, I mean, look at the implications of this. I mean, it just takes the control factor to a whole new level. But what if this malfunctions? I mean, what if something goes wrong at the control center and it malfunctions?
Absolutely.
I mean, and gives you too much electricity, it could kill you.
No, it does. There are deaths from this. There are deaths from ECT. The ECT, electroshock, like there was just something, I get alerts on these things, but it was a woman, she died. She was killed because it induced a seizure that did not stop.
Oh.
Like she was in perpetual seizure and then it just killed her.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. This is serious stuff.
It's very serious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What do you observe in the media now? I mean, what's the next? I mean, do you see this? If we don't stop it, I mean, what's coming next?
Yeah. Well, the big thing is, I mean, right now, publicly, the thing that's being promoted is electroshock. And that's going to be a big thing. Like the American Psychiatric Association is having their annual convention in, it's like a week and a half in Atlanta. And they are part of what they're doing in their convention, they are promoting electroshock. And
wow.
There's been this whole new push for electroshock and the brain devices that some people may have heard about, but most probably haven't seen it yet because it's not in full swing in the media. But the new trend is implantable and it's electrical. The new trend is everything electrical. And the way they're selling these, because sometimes, you know, you'd think like, who would do this? Like, but it's, they really do get away with it by telling people that after this drug made them worse and that drug made them worse and they're not getting better, then instead of just admitting that the drugs don't work and they actually make people worse, what they do is they turn it around and they say, oh, your condition is treatment resistant and your condition needs now electric. It needs electroshock or a brain implant device.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening. And so people, because they've been so driven down by the drugs, and the negative effects of them, then they agree and they say, okay, I'm just desperate. Please help me.
Right.
You know,
right.
And they agree to these procedures.
Yeah. And that's so unfortunate. And that no doubt often happens is desperate people do desperate things and they don't do enough research and they don't know enough, and which is what we want to try to get the word out so that people can be educated, because if you do something that's permanent and that something can kill you, that's pretty serious.
Right. And and I'm not kidding. Like, you know, you were talking about perspective, like how, you know, we're in the dark ages now and how we'll be looked back on. I'm not kidding. I really think we are going to look back at electroshock right now and these brain implants that are being promoted as like some new breakthrough. But we're going to look back at those the same way we look at lobotomies today.
Right.
And say, like, oh my God, I can't believe that was done to people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm wanting...
Now.
Yeah, and that's why I'm wanting us to get ahead this time and save ourselves the thousands and thousands of people being brain damaged because of them, just like with lobotomies. You know, it takes time for the damages to be exposed. You know, so lobotomies, they got away with promoting those as miracle cures and literally, like, they promoted them as a miracle cure. It takes time for the damages to come out and people to become aware, and then they moved off of that. And I just want us to get ahead of this and not wait till it's been done to thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and then it's like, oh, it caused brain damage.
Right.
You know, oh, so sorry, we just ruined this generation of children.
Right.
You know, now what?
Right.
You know, I want to, like, to expose this now for enough people to see, you know, this is not, like, these companies, they're not public service. These guys are about profit. And it's profit.
Right.
It's money.
It's always about the money and power. Money and power.
That's right.
Yeah, and you're right. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, so I just want people to, like, get information about this, know what these things actually do. Don't fall for the media, because, you know, a lot of this, they're controlling the media. So, you know, you see things that look like, oh, this is, you know, look at this new thing. And it's like, no. That's the same way they did with some of these drugs. They made it seem like it was news and that they were good for you.
Right.
It's like, no, it was marketing, actually, just disguised as news.
Right. It's slick marketing.
And
that's what I would call it.
Yeah, and I've seen, what do you call it?
Yeah, I would call it slick marketing, you know, just from, and people need to do their own research. I mean, please, people, do your own research, because this is so... so serious, and you're right.
Yeah.
We need to prevent this from happening. There's no need in going down that road, because we know what it does. We know it's not necessary, because there's many alternatives, you know,
right.
And there's plenty
that's
of answers out there. People just have to search for them. And that's, you know, one thing I want to do is try to help give people some other solutions to at least look at it, you know, look at
that's
them.
Right.
You're a commissioner for the Citizens Commission on Human Rights. Tell us what CCH, tell everybody what CCHR is.
Well, CCHR, that stands for Citizens Commission on Human Rights, and CCHR is the oldest, largest international mental health watchdog that's been on these issues since it was founded in 1969 by the Church of Scientology and Dr. Thomas Soss was co-founded, actually, as a secular, like a non-religious nonprofit that put full attention on human rights abuses in the mental health field, because there were so many.
Right.
And it was the only voice, and it was the only voice for so long, and it got slammed, and it's, you know, it's taken its hits, because you think about it, you know, going up against trillion dollar industries, actually, the pharmaceutical
right.
industry, the psychiatric industry is, you know, is multi-billion dollar industry. So, but now, thankfully, you know, there's like lots of other groups now, and that have joined forces, and lots of other people independently that are on this issue and exposing things, and it's you know, incredible to see, because we are all up against a behemoth. You know, this is just a monster in the this whole psychiatric pharmaceutical industry, and it does take all of us joining together and informing people, and on just an individual level, people making choices to have more control of their own life and problem solve things instead of becoming lifelong customers that is going to drag them down. And it requires, you know, legislation, which I work on,
Right.
CCHR, the other thing Citizens Commission on Human Rights does is work with the government. Like I'm in Washington, D.C., and I work with different representatives and senators, and on the state level, too, I do that. I helped get a bill passed in New Mexico. It's actually the strongest bill we have in the country, protecting kids from forced drugging. CCHR is all about informed consent, information, no force. If somebody makes a decision, they choose that they want to do, you know, medication, you know, that's fine.
Right.
But people have not been given true information, and they need to have that first before it's they can make a, you know, the best decision for themselves.
Right. And the one thing I really like about CCHR is they really fight for our freedom to make.
Absolutely.
You know, once you get the right information, then you make your own decision, and
that's
and
right.
Everybody should be fighting for that because I know they have
right.
they have been responsible for some really good laws that have been passed that
mm-hmm.
have actually enabled us to have more freedom. So we really owe them a huge debt of gratitude for what they're doing to fight for our freedom. Because
it
that's
is
what
about freedom. Yeah.
It is. That's the bottom line. And you know, because if we don't have control over our minds or our bodies, then we really don't have much, do we? I mean, we're in
right.
really, I mean, we're just slaves then.
That's right. Okay. That's right. And that's the thing. That's exactly. And that's why, like, I do the work I do and the legislation and everything. It is, you know, we're in a battle right now for, you know, mankind, humankind's freedom. It's
right.
whether the forces that are going to control and turn us all slaves, whether that's through controlling the food supply and
right.
And toxins in the environment and all these ways of making people, you know, sick, or drugs and implants in their brain that can totally control people. You know, it's whether people are going to be controlled slaves or whether we are free to be our full selves and our full spiritual selves in whatever brand, you know, that is. But
right.
to be free spiritually, you can't have your brain with an implant in it.
Correct.
You know?
Correct. And it doesn't need to be dulled or numbed down with drugs either.
That's right.
We've got
That's
to
right.
be able to think clearly in order to make the correct choices and live our life the way, you know, it was intended to be lived.
Yeah.
Okay. So if people want more information and want to help you and CCHR fight this, what do they need to do?
Okay, so a couple things. So I want to give the CCHR websites, because there's lots of incredible good information there, and it's part about being informed. And there's also, you know, a drug side effect database.
Yeah, and
most,
I'm sorry,
most
go ahead.
Comprehensive. Yeah, it's most comprehensive. Yeah. It's got all kinds of information from the FDA and other drug regulatory agencies.
Yeah, and let me make clear, this is not about pushing any agenda other than freedom. It's not about pushing any religion. It's non-religious or anything like that. This is about freedom, bottom line. And you can go to their website. You can look. They have a financial statement on there. They have documentaries. Everything is documented, and it's strictly straight up the board. It's basically about freedom. So go ahead.
I mean, it's been around for a long time. So 1969, and the same goals, which is information. And so there are award-winning documentaries, multi-award-winning industry award-winning documentaries, and those you can watch for free on the website. A lot of material is free. That's the donations and money that comes in, and is all, you know, so that these things can be available to people. But CCHRINT.org, that's for the international, CCHRINT.org, and then CCHR.org. Both of those have lots of information. Psychiatric Association is going to be having their annual convention in Atlanta. That's going to be happening like May 14th. It's coming up. And part of it, what they're going to be doing is promoting electroshock. It's one of the big topics, and all these new brain devices. So CCHR is organizing a march to oppose electroshock on children. And that march is on May 14th in Atlanta. If anybody's interested in going to that, they can get information about it at cchrint.org/saveourkids. And that will give them info about the march. And then if people want to get in touch with me, and I'm happy to, you know, talk with folks. If people want to work on any legislation on a state level, I can help with that also. I do, you know, expert testimony and have a lot of information. My website is drlagemann.com. It's drlagemann.com. And my phone number's on there, and I'm happy to be in touch with people.
Okay, very good. Is there anything else you want to say before we end here?
Well, just if we don't look, some of this stuff is unpleasant, but if we don't actually look at it and confront what's going on, we are then just subject to it. Because there are forces out there, it's the oldest story in the book, it's a fight between good and evil. And there are forces out there that they are not resting, and they are trying to just have control and domination and make people slaves. And it is, we have to look at that and know that's what's happening, even though it, you know, it might look fine in the little neighborhood, but that's how we got to, like, kind of take back decisions about our own self and our families. And, you know, used to be people would talk to their ministers and their, you know, their reverends and that kind of pastor. And that's gone, and it's just been, we've been directed, misdirected over to pills. And we have to, you know, get back to our core. And that's what it is. I would just go back to, it's about freedom.
Right.
Which is what you were saying.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate this. This has been very informative. And and actually, maybe I can have you back sometime, because when more develops on this, and maybe you can update us on some of the latest happenings.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you so much. Okay, great.
Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you. And thank you for listening. This is Beverly Butler with The Misdiagnosed Life. And always remember, you don't know what you don't know.